Years ago, Irma Bombeck shared her version of what happened when God created mothers. She says that on the day God created mothers, he had already worked overtime, and an angel said to him, "Lord, you sure are spending a lot of time on this project." And the Lord turned and said, "Well, have you read the specs on this model? She is supposed to be completely washable, but not plastic. She's to have 180 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She's to have a kiss that'll heal everything from a broken leg to a broken heart. And she's to have a lap that magically disappears when she stands up. She's to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers. And she's supposed to have six pair of hands." "Six pair of hands," said the angel. That's impossible." "Well, it's not the six pair of hands that bothers me," said the Lord. "It's the three pair of eyes. She's supposed to have one pair that sees through closed doors. And whenever she says, 'What are y'all doing in there?' she already knows what they're doing in there. And she's to have another pair in the back of her head to see all the things, well, she's not supposed to see. And then she has one pair right in the front that can look at a child that goofed and communicate love and understanding without saying a word." "Well, that's too much," said the angel. You can't put that much in one model." "Well, why don't you just rest a while and resume your creating tomorrow?" "No, I can't," said God, "because I'm close to creating someone very much like myself. I've already come up with a model that can heal herself when she's sick, who can feed a family of five with 1 pound of hamburger meat, and who can even persuade a 9-year-old boy to take a bath." The angel looked at the model of motherhood a little more closely and said, "Well, she's too soft." "Oh, but she's tough," said the Lord. "You'd be surprised at how much this mother can do." "Can she think?" asked the angel. "Well, not only can she think," said the Lord, "but she can reason and compromise and powerfully persuade." And then the angel reached over and touched her cheek, and he said, "Well, there's a problem here. This one has a leak." "I told you that you're trying to put too much in one model." The Lord said, "That's not a leak, that's a tear." "Well, what is a tear for?" "Well, it's for joy, for sadness, for sorrow, for disappointment, for pride." "You're a genius," said the angel. And the Lord said, "I didn't put that tear there. It came from her heart." Maybe with all of that in mind, we can better understand Miss Zebedee, the mother of the apostles James and John. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, Matthew wrote, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him," from Jesus. "And he said to her, 'What do you wish?' She said to him, 'Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom.' But Jesus answered and said, 'You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup?'" By the way, he's talking about a cup of suffering. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink or be baptized with the baptism that was an immersion in suffering? With the baptism that I'm baptized with? They said to him, we're able. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. Miss Zebedee was well aware that Jesus had been teaching that the kingdom of God is at hand. She was also very aware that her sons, James and John, were very close to Jesus. In fact, they were 2/3 of the inner circle of Peter, James, and John. And so she was certain that when the Lord formed his kingdom, that they would naturally have places of responsibility and authority. But in the first part of this same chapter, Jesus tells a story that it must have left her a little bit uneasy. It was a story about a landowner who went out to find laborers early in the morning. And they agreed on a fair day's wage and started working. Then at noon, he needed more labor, so he went and got more. And then even toward the evening, he went out and found some more, and they started working. And yet, when the landowner settled up with all of his workers, they all received the same wage. It must have caused Miss Zebedee to wonder, will my sons have positions of authority and importance in the Lord's new kingdom? And so when the opportunity presented itself, she came to Jesus. Matthew says that she bowed down before him and made this request. When you establish your kingdom, I would request seats on your right and left hand for my two sons. Now, we might want to criticize Miss Zebedee for being presumptuous. But since it's Mother's Day, maybe we ought to think about the positive things that we can learn from this mother who loved her son so much. We also need to recognize that when she came to Jesus, Jesus did not grant her request, but he also didn't deny it. Rather, he simply reminded her of the cost of being seated on his left or his right. And then he told her that he's not the one that would determine that, that the Father in heaven would determine who would be seated there. Now, maybe we need to start by talking about, again, some good things about this mother. First of all, she came to the Lord praying that her sons would be a part of the kingdom of God. What could be more important than for a mother to pray that her sons would be a productive part of the kingdom of God? I'm confident that the mothers here today and grandmothers have and will spend a considerable amount of time praying for their children. Now, sometimes you do that out of necessity. In other words, sometimes you pray because motherhood is not easy. It can be extremely challenging. James Dobson tells about when he arrived home one day when his son Ryan was just a little baby. And it had been a terrible day for his wife. Ryan was sick, had cried all day long. And as she was changing his diaper, the phone rang. They didn't have cell phones, so she had to reach over to get the phone. And when she did, he had another little attack of diarrhea. And so she cleaned up all that mess and put him in, you know, sweet-smelling clothes, took him to the living room and fed him. And as she was burping him, you know what happened. He threw up all over her and him and the sofa. And so Dobson wrote, "When I came home, I could smell the aroma of motherhood everywhere." And his wife looked at him and cried out, "Was this all in my contract?" Well, sometimes mothers pray because it's so hard. Sometimes mothers pray just out of the frustration of all of it. And sometimes in the frustration of trying to teach their children to realize the difficulties of communication. You have to say what you're thinking. Mothers teach that. I read the story of a mom with 8 children who came home one afternoon from the grocery store. And when she walked in the house, the first warning flag was it was quiet. And she walked in the living room and there they were, sitting in a circle. And so she walked over, and you know, her 5 little darlings sitting there in a circle being so quiet. She could tell they were doing something. She wasn't sure what. So she put down her sack of groceries and she walked over to see that they were playing with 5 baby skunks in the middle of their circle. And she did what most mothers would do. She freaked out. And she screamed, "Run, children, run!" And each child grabbed a skunk and ran in 5 different directions. And then she totally lost it, and she screamed even louder. And the writer said, as she screamed louder, the children squeezed those skunks, and skunks don't like to be squeezed. So sometimes mothers pray to help their children to understand communication. Being a parent, being a mom, is not easy. Sometimes it's filled with incredible joy, and sometimes it's filled with heartbreaking sadness. Sometimes your children make you so proud, and at other times, well, they just embarrass you to death. And then at other times you can't find enough tissues to dry your eyes. And those tears may be from laughter or they may be from crying. What good is it if our children are incredibly successful in making money and driving fine automobiles and living in good neighbors or good neighborhoods, but they don't know God? That's something mothers pray about. Well, what does it matter if they gain the whole world, as Jesus said, but lose their own souls? Being a parent is not easy. It's difficult. Mrs. Ebedee gives us an incredible, valuable example. She prayed earnestly that her sons would be a part of his kingdom. And so should we, of course, have that same concern for our children and our grandchildren. In the heart of every mother and father and grandmother and grandfather here this morning is a burden that takes them to their knees and to the throne of God, praying for those children, praying that they will be, at the age of accountability, open to the gospel, willing to hear, willing to obey, willing to be saved by the blood of Christ, saved from eternal damnation, saved for eternal life. And the answer to that prayer, of them responding to God and walking close to God, that makes all of those bad diaper days worth it. All of that, those skunk days, worth it. That's what Miss Zebedee teaches us. Secondly, not only did Miss Zebedee pray that her children would be a part of his kingdom, but she prayed that they would be actively involved in the work of the kingdom. We all know it's not enough just to believe and be convicted because you're a sinner and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting from your sins, and then being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. There's more to it than that. There's more to just occasionally showing up on Sunday mornings. Being a Christian is all about becoming like Jesus Christ every day of your life. And you can't be like Jesus without getting hands-on with the mission of the family of God. But where does the Spirit of Christ's likeness and service begin? I'll tell you where it begins. It begins at home. It begins with that mother who is uniquely qualified to teach that child. With mothers and then fathers setting the example and praying that their sons and daughters be involved in the work of the kingdom. And their children hearing those prayers. As teachers and leaders, those parents pointing others to Christ. And then their children growing as adults, pointing others to Christ, serving others, all to the glory of God, being the hands and feet and eyes and mouth and ears of Jesus, and loving others. Mrs. Zebedee prayed that her children would be actively involved. I know it seems a little presumptuous. Put them on the right and left. Maybe that was a little bit of, I know they can do this. But she prayed that they would be involved in the work of the kingdom. Now, thirdly, Mrs. Zebedee had big expectations. She didn't pray that her children would just be the doorkeeper. No, she wanted them involved. She wanted them on the right and left hand of Jesus. Of course, when you're working with an earthly king, there are no higher places of responsibility and opportunity than those on the right and left hand of the king himself. And that's what she wanted for her sons. She wanted them to be deeply involved. She had high expectations. Again, we may consider Mrs. Zebedee, I wish I knew her first name. We may consider her to be a little brash and presumptuous, but the truth is, she was just being a mama. She had watched her sons walk away from their livelihood, walk away from their fishing boats to follow Jesus. Their deep loyalty to Jesus had not gone unnoticed by this mother. She had not taught her sons to be lazy or to just be mediocre. She had high expectations. There was a reason they were not content to just sit back and let things happen. And it had something to do with her, we can be sure. Along with Peter, her sons were closer to Jesus than anyone else on the planet. In fact, John was the closest. What John and James and John were, what Jesus saw in their character and in their hearts, and Jesus, John 2:25, knew what was in men. He knew what was in those hearts. That began in the arms of their mother. And she knew that Jesus needed those kind of men. Men that he could trust at his side. And her boys were trustworthy. In this mama's eyes, Jesus needed them at his side. Think about this. Babies nurtured in the arms of godly mothers receive a special gift. In fact, gifts. Well, one of the first things they'll learn is this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We sing that little song and then spend the rest of our lives trying to wrap our heads around how significant that phrase is. These children will be challenged to think about their souls, and then in turn the souls of their friends. And they'll soon understand that their mother also has big expectations of them. And as she serves them, and as they watch her serve others, they learn they are to be a servant to others. Do you remember, again, Irma Bombeck envisioned God saying, as he created this mother, "I'm close to creating something very much like myself." And that's true of men and women. God created us in his likeness. And no other created being was created in his likeness. God has big expectations for you too, for me. Maybe this is why today is so special, because we recognize that a mother's love is one of the most vivid examples we have of God's love. It's a love, well, even when we're born, they go through the valley of the shadow of death to bring life into being. It's a love that sacrificed itself over and over and over and over again, and would even dare to lay down its life for that child, like Jesus did. And so today, we thank God in his infinite wisdom and power to create mothers. And we remind all of you mothers, and you potential mothers, how much we admire you. We understand your task is enormous. But we also understand when you walk the path of Miss Zebedee, the rewards are incredible. This morning, if you need to come for any reason, would you please come now while we stand and sing?